Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 325, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey, and give me an understanding heart, and what follows. Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Exodus 19. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 19. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you in eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. And now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ye ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet their God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priest also, which came near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, A set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them thus far. Let us try to pray. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy holy word in this evening hour, O Lord. May it please thee to convert what is unconverted, O King of thy church. May it please thee to shoot arrows of love and arrows of conviction in the hearts of the king's enemies, that they may be wounded and that they may be carried out. Thou art still gathering a church. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee, but that it shall accomplish that which thou shalt please. May it then be the hour of thy good pleasure, that young and old may be brought upon. Do remember thy children. They learn as so dependent upon thee, and if thou doth not keep them, that they shall fall. O, thy children need thy dear Son as their king to watch over them, as their prophet to instruct, but also as that high priest to atone, and also to pray and to thank. Lord, remember consistory and congregation, also in this evening hour, then only the smaller part can come up to thy house, the greater part is still in their dwellings. May the time soon arrive that as a congregation that we can all come up to thy house. Bless the manifold means of grace. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, all those that labor therein. The labors are many and the labors are few. Be mindful of the students, especially him who was called to speak an edifying word. Oh, who is sufficient unto these things, but do stand on his right and on his left, and may thy word be blessed. Uphold the persecuted church. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Wilt thou remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember those on furlough. Remember also him with his wife and children when thou granteth it, when in the future he hopes to be sent to Bolivia. Wilt thou be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? Remember Bible translators and all those who bring thy word to the ends of the earth. Remember the nations of the earth under all the distress, under all the turmoil. Remember all those that are afflicted, O Lord. Then hitherto thou wast wonderfully and graciously placed a fiery wall round about us. Ah, that can never be, because we are better, because we deserve it, because we have sinned it all away. May it then be thy goodness that may lead to that true repentance. Remember all in high authority, also in this country, in this province, in the cities, in this town. May thy word yet have a place. May thy word yet have authority, and may prayer yet be made. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding, Lord, then by renewal, then we commend all the mourning families unto thee in their deep grief and in their deep sorrow. May it please thee to comfort them, and that the callings may be sanctified. Remember all our elderly, those in Bethesda, those at home. Remember all those that may lovingly care for them. Remember the sick and afflicted, all under the doctor's care, with that dreaded disease. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the little son in the hospital. Hitherto thou wast been a wonder-doing God. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may continue to do so, that thou may grant strengthening and healing. Remember his parents and family. Wilt thou grant strength and everything that is necessary in these trying ways? Remember the crosses. Remember the burdens. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? May it please thee in this season to keep from great storms of destruction. Wilt thou grant that dependent life, to be enabled to pray, Give us this day our daily bread. May there be those times in the family circles that it may be declared this is nothing but the hand of the Lord that has been mindful of us. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy help. Oh, a few words to speak. Well, to grant Aaron's and hers. Remember all the listeners. Wilt thou remember and help the little children that may be in thy house and those that are called upon to be in their dwellings? Thou knowest there can be so many distractions, but that is not only for the children, that is also for the older ones. May the cares have been left outside of the doors of thy house. May it please thee to grant a holy attention. Wilt thou bind the devil, that there may be a little rest in thy house? Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people? Ah, grant in this evening hour a token for good. May it be an unforgettable service. We have nothing to plead upon, even unworthy that thou would come under our roof. Give us faith to believe what we speak, and to speak what we may believe. May our eyes be upon thee, where thou art such a great and a wonder-doing God, and where thou art still gathering thy church unto thyself, O Lord. Bind it upon all our heart that we need to become a living member of that living church. And when that may take place, then we can live, then we can also die. And then the day of our death shall be better than the day of our birth, because then we shall be enabled to praise thee most perfectly, delivered from self, delivered from the world, and delivered from the devil. Ah, Lord, do it then for thy honor and for thy glory. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 38, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. And what follows, Psalter 38, the first four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 34, the question and answers 92 and 93. Question 92, what is the law of God? Answer, God spake all these words, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and the Ten Commandments, they have been read unto us in this morning hour. Question 93, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second of what duties we owe to our neighbor. Lord's Day number 34, the question and answers 92 and 93, they speak of the holy law and the part of gratitude. With four thoughts, in the first place, the context of the law. In the second place, the giving of the law. In the third place, the introduction to the law. And in the fourth place, the division of the law. The holy law and the part of gratitude. The context of the law, the giving of the law, the introduction to the law, and the division of the law. Beloved congregation, we have heard that with Lord's Day number 32, that the instructors have begun to speak of the gratitude in the life of the church. And boys and girls, I think you can remember that we have heard at the beginning of the catechism, it is called the Book of Comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and death? And then in the second question, it was asked, what is necessary to know that we may enjoy that comfort? And then I think you can remember three things. In the first place, that I learn how great my sins and miseries are. In the second place, how I may be delivered. And in the third part, how I may show gratitude to God for such deliverance. And then we have heard that the instructors, it is clear in this catechism that they have been led so clearly in the things of the Lord by the Holy Spirit. And then each time it is the desires of the instructors to extol free and sovereign grace. We have heard it at the beginning of Lord's Day 32, where they have made a precious confession. Since then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours. That is what the child of God learns, and that becomes so precious, because the church learns, if even one prayer from our side had to be added, it would be eternally lost. But then the question was, why must we still do good works? And then you can remember the three purposes of good works. And then the instructor have declared that those that remain wicked and unthankful, they can never inherit the kingdom of God except they are converted to God. And that is what each and every one of us needs. Oh, young people, may you be given to ask that the Lord may convert you early. That is such a privilege, and that is such a blessing, that can keep from so much sin and from so much misery. And when we have not been converted when we are young, has there been a time in your life, congregation, that you have stood still and that you have said, "Ach, Lord, it seems that I do not really belong to the young people anymore"? We like to think so, but there comes a time that we realize that we do not really belong to the youth. And has that ever shocked us, and that we said, "Ach, Lord, now I am becoming older. The best time in my life is past, and I am still unconverted. All my sins are still on my account. Oh, is it still possible, Lord? Wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people?" In the last Lord's Day, we have heard of that true conversion, for examination, but also for comfort. Because for the child of God, when they read of those matters in question and the answers 89 and 90, what is the mortification of the old man? Then they may say, "Ach, Lord, if that is now the true conversion, then I cannot deny that I may have a little beginning." Could we say that the last Lord's Day, congregation, were there souls that could say, "Ach, Lord, that is not a total strange language to me"? And then the resurrection, the quickening of the new man, it is a sincere joy of heart in God, that people cannot deny. And then it is necessary that we learn, because let us always remember what we read in John 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." It is true, all those precious gifts, they come from Christ. But now for the comfort of the child of God, they must learn Christ, and with love and delight, to live according to the will of God in all good works. And then we have heard what good works are. They proceed from a true faith, are performed according to the law of God and to His glory. And so we come to Lord's Day 34, where there is a beginning of the explanation of the holy law of God. Not the first time that we have met with the law of God. Already in the second Lord's Day, there is asked, "Whence knowest thou thy misery?" And then it was answered according to the scriptures, out of the law of God. And then we have mentioned already that the law, that it has different purposes. In the first place, to uncover a sinner to his lost condition. Then you can remember, boys and girls, then we have compared that law to a mirror. And when we look into that mirror of the law of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then we are given to see what great and wicked and lost sinners we are. And then we begin to cry unto the Lord. In the second place, then I read in Galatians 3 verse 24 that the law is as a schoolmaster to bring a sinner to Christ, that they are cut off from everything from themselves, and to that end, room is made for that precious Savior. And now in the third place, and that is what this Lord's Day makes a beginning of, then it is in the part of gratitude, we could also speak the blessing concerning the law of God in the family circles, in the church, and in a nation. Thus, in this Lord's Day, then it is for the second time that the instructors are given to speak of the law. In the first place, the first time, then it was as a trembling sinner that has heard the thunders of Mount Sinai. They have heard the curses of the Lord. But in this Lord's Day, then we no longer have a trembling sinner, but then we have a reconciled child. Oh, what wonderful things that the instructors have explained concerning the way of salvation, the benefits which Christ has merited for His church, and which the Holy Spirit grants unto His people. Thus, in the second place, that we speak of the law in our catechism, oh, the first time, then it was a must, a trembling sinner concerning the law of God. But now in this Lord's Day, the child has learned that Christ has kept that law for them. They may become partaker of that righteousness. Thus in the part of gratitude, then it is a may. We could give the example of the Israelites in Egypt. Maybe then the children can understand it. In Egypt, then the fathers, they had to work long hours making bricks. They did not work hard enough, they would be lashed. And there even came a time that they were no longer given straw, and still the full number was required. Ah, that is what the child of God learns. Oh, in the beginning, when the Lord sheds that love abroad in their heart in such a rich measure, then how zealous and how active they are, hoping that they can make perfect bricks. But now when the Lord withdraws that help, lets them fall into temptation, when they no longer receive that straw, and then the Lord still requires that full number. That was a hard labor, then boys and girls. Then maybe it happened sometime that a father came home with the lashes upon his back, that mother had to wash and clean them. But now when they have come into the promised land, it is true, they received many dwellings from the heathens. But then when a father, when he desired to build a house for his wife and children, and also had to make bricks, that was a complete different labor than it was with desire and with delight for a purpose. And now the holy law that is read in the midst of the congregation every Lord's Day morning, maybe sometime congregation, we do not listen so well. We have heard it so often. Many churches the holy laws no longer read. Also concerning the Baptists, the strict Baptists, oh, we love their experience. According to God's word, the experiential religion. But those Baptists, they shall never read the holy law in the church. And why? Oh, it is true. There have been among them saints, people of God, that have been led so clearly. Oh, that have learned that it was grace and grace alone. And then out of fear to fall back to that covenant of works, then they have exceeded what the Bible states. And then they tell us that the child of God that has been saved and delivered, that they are finished with the law, but that they must live by the gospel does not mean that they are antinomians, that they do not live according to the word of God. But then they say that the child of God is finished with the law, but it is clear that that is not according to God's word. How often in the epistles Paul has spoken of the law of God. He has even said in Romans 7 verse 22, I delight in the law of God. And now if you would ask such a one, we would ask that people, and it is true, maybe sometime perhaps more the theological terms they use, nevertheless also the language we use must be founded on the scriptures. And now if we would say, if you now have a boy and girl amongst you that has been converted and even received the forgiveness of sins, maybe we think that is not possible. Maybe children, young people, you think that is only for older people. I think you have read about little Potapple. He was not so old when he has experienced the pardoning of his sins. And if we would now meet that people that tell us that they are finished with the law, then we would say, so that means that such a boy and girl does not have to listen to their parents because they are finished through the law. Or an older one, if they would be stopped on the road for speeding, then could such a one say to the policeman, I am finished with the law. Then they shall answer, but that is temporal life, that is not spiritual life. But congregation, we may never separate the two. Our religion, that includes all our life. Thus, beginning in Lord's Day 34, it speaks of the part of gratitude, and that the child of God, when they are in the right place, because they have that warfare, oh, with that flesh, with the world, and with the devil, and how great that the temptations are. Nevertheless, in that part of gratitude, oh, by the work of the Holy Spirit, it is a sincere joy of heart in God, through Christ, and with love and delight to live according to the will of God in all good works, and that is according to the law of God. How many times that the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that they are misused. John Newton, oh, he has been led clearly in the ways of the Lord, and he has written about that matter. Oh, that we use. Maybe we are glad, and that we misuse it. That our confession is orthodox, and that we say it is grace and grace alone, and that is true. We can do nothing, and to that end we do nothing. We become passive. Oh, congregation, perhaps we have the easiest religion of the whole world. We hide behind the truth, behind the precious doctrines of free and sovereign grace, become passive, do not use the means, and secretly that we blame the Lord. John Newton, he has said many speak of grace to excuse themselves for the sins that they are unwilling to forsake. They speak of the perseverance of saints and therefore excuse their deadness. The inability of man, a plea for their slothfulness. And when they are exhorted to watch and pray, they condemn such a preaching to justify. But then he has written a very simple statement. Then John Newton, oh, he has learned, may we come simply to the light with a desire of seeing more of ourselves and more of our Savior, that we may be more humble and spiritual, more afraid of sin, more watchful, and more successful in striving against sin. Our second thought, the giving of the law. We have read together out of Exodus 19. Was a very solemn time, the third month, after the children of Israel have come out of the house of bondage. But that law, it is clear that law was written on the table of Adam's heart in creation, because Adam was created in the image of God in knowledge, and that knowledge included that he had a perfect knowledge of the law of God and a holy delight and a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord. Oh, what a blessed time that was, where Adam and Eve, where they were given to walk in that perfect communion. But then as time went on, then the number of people have increased. The revelations became less. And to that end, it was so necessary, oh, the goodness of the Lord, that he has spoken audibly, that he has confirmed, that he has written that law in stone. And then we have heard of the circumstances in Exodus 19, they were to sanctify themselves, because on the third day, then the Lord would speak. Most of the laws which the Lord has given to the children of Israel have been told unto Moses, and he was given to write them. But the Ten Commandments, they were spoken by God in an audible voice, because we read in the first verse of Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, and then we read that there was thunder, that there was lightning, a thick cloud, a fire and smoke, the whole mountains quaked. We have heard that the people have trembled. And we read in Hebrews 12, verse 27, I exceeding fear and quake. Never before had the Lord spoken in such a way. Has that ever taken place in our life, congregation? that we may say, I have never heard the Lord speak to me in such a way. It's what the children of Israel have experienced. It is clear also the ministry of angels, as we read in Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, Psalm 68, verse 17, and Acts 7, verse 38. And now the Lord has given unto the children of Israel, our young people have learned it, three different types of laws. They have also received civil laws that respected the political life of the children of Israel. But those laws have come to an end with the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70 A.D. Then they were also given the ceremonial laws which concerned the religious life of God's people. Not always so easy to understand. If we read the book of Leviticus, those first chapters of all those sacrifices, then indeed we have to study it closely that we may have a little comprehension about those ceremonial laws. They all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time, and they have ceased to exist with the rending of the veil when Christ is cried out on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Thus those two laws, it is true, they still have much moral instruction for all ages, but they have ceased to exist. But now concerning the moral law that was written in tables of stone, and boys and girls, if we think about it, what is written in stone, that lasts very long, and to that end it tells us that moral law that is an everlasting law, and Christ has even said in Matthew 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Thus concerning that law, first, written on the table of Adam's heart when he was created. In the second place, that it was given by the Lord to the children of Israel, and to that end to all people from Mount Sinai. And now what else is necessary? Then I read in Jeremiah 31, in verse 3, there it speaks, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore the Lord draws with those cords. And then in verse 9, they shall come with weeping and with supplication. In the further verses, then we read of the blessings of that covenant, the blessings which Christ has merited for his church, because then we read, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock. And then in verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Thus then we have the election of God, the calling of the church, the deliverance. But then we read further in that chapter in verse 33, for this shall be a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Thus then we read that the Lord shall write that law upon the table of their hearts. Is that ever taking place, congregation? Let us first sing. A Psalter 428, the stanzas 4 and 5. Thy precepts have I hid within my heart, lest I should stray and fall into transgression. O teach thou me, and unto me impart thy statutes for a permanent possession. And what follows, 428, 4 and 5.
Thank you.
the holy law and the part of gratitude, the context, the giving, and now thirdly, the introduction to the law. Then we have heard it that the children of Israel, they have sanctified themselves. There were bounds put around that mount that was given to quake, thunder and lightnings. The mount was given to shake, and the people have trembled. And then the Lord has spoken. And what a precious word for those trembling Israelites. Has that ever happened in our life? That we have come to God's house on the morning of the Lord's day. Maybe a week that lie behind with much distress, with much prayer, with many desires, looking up unto the Lord, a burden sinners, maybe sinners with perplexities and with riddles, and that then we have heard the law, and that it has been such a comfort and such an encouragement, that introduction, that it was a sermon itself. Oh, I hope also that there have been times when the commandments were read, that you have been convicted, and that under the praying, under the reading of the law, that the prayer of the publican has been said up, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But now, what a comforting introduction. Oh, for the children of Israel, and it is in the part of gratitude. Ah, then the child is given to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then we become willing servants, and then we become willing handmaids. But now what a comforting word in that introduction, when the children of Israel, then he has said, I am the Lord, that is Jehovah, that covenant God, who was unchangeable, so faithful, who shall never forsake the work of his hands, who is the same, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and forever, the Lord, who has led that people out. But not only I am the Lord, I am the Lord, thy God, can be in different ways. Has it ever been in the house of God that we have turned those first words? Oh, it is a blessing when the Lord grants that assurance we have heard in this afternoon of that white stone. But the Lord has a people. I am the Lord, thy God. Oh, that it is in the way of desire, that people may say, Ach, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the desire of my heart was possible, although we must confess guilty of the whole law of God. But, O Lord, it is my desire that thou may be my God, that it may be fulfilled, Oh, what an encouragement that can be. Ah, then that people receive courage to go further. But now even richer than the Lord thy God, than he has given to declare his wonderful works, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. The Lord has a people that cannot deny that the Lord has become too strong for them. Oh, they have learned what it is to be in Egypt, of course. Oh, boys and girls, what a blessing it is. Ask the Lord to convert you early, that you do not know so much of that Egypt. I know when the Lord converts boys and girls early, when they do not know another time, then they can be so troubled when they hear of that people that have been let out so powerfully and so clearly. And then the devil can say, but you do not know of that change. But the most important is the fruits. What does our heart go out to? Does it go out to the Lord? And that he may be my God, and that we may hear his voice. What a comforting word, that we may hear every Sabbath morning. People of God, has that ever become being an encouragement, that we may receive courage? I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Ah, that people have experienced that they could never bring themselves out. It is true, they have groaned, they have wept, but now the Lord has stretched out his hand. What wonderful things that people have experienced. Ah, the Lord has a people. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. What an encouragement when they may be given to reflect upon the mighty work of the Lord, oh, in the beginning, also in the way of providence. But they have learned that they could never deliver themselves. And what of that people? Oh, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And how was that went? Ah, then the children of Israel, then in Exodus 12, then the gospel has been opened. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And how was that now possible? Ah, those children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai, what wonderful things that they have experienced. Oh, then they have experienced that it was the Lord's work, and that they needed that lamb that is so necessary. Oh, that lamb had to be set apart on the 10th day for 4 days. Then the children of Israel, ah, when the Lord says, I have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, was not because of their merit, but the Lord has chosen that people above all the people upon the face of the earth. And then on the 14th day, boys and girls, what must take place with that lamb? Then that lamb was slain. Therefore they were brought out, and then that blood was placed on the door. And then the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, and that introduction to the law, it is also an examination for the church of God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. But how far have we now been led? Oh, have we learned, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, then in that night, the angel of death has went, I am the Lord that has brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Then the Lord reminds that people of his wonderful deeds. Oh, the Lord has given the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire by night. The Lord has given them manna from heaven. The Lord has given water out of the rock. The Lord has given the victory over the Amalekites. The Lord has brought them to Mount Sinai. What an instruction and what an encouragement for the true church of God through this wilderness journey. Oh, the introduction of the law is so touching and so loving. And when the child of God, we have said it is in the context of gratitude, oh, then it shall be that such a child says, Lord, what must I do? And to that end, the Lord has granted those 10 commandments. Thus, oppression and introduction, people of God, has it ever touched their heart? Has it ever been encouragement? Has the Lord spoken with power and with authority? Our last thought, the division of the law in 2 tables, our boys and girls know it. We shall try, the Lord willing, to say a few words about the 4th point, the coming Sabbath day, thus the holy law and the part of gratitude. I am the Lord thy God. Have we now become a child? Have we become converted, young and old? Or when we hear that introduction, does it still exclude us? That we must say every Lord's Day morning, that we say, Lord, does not apply to me because I have never been converted. Thou hast not become my God. I am still under thy wrath. May that become our need, and that we may be given to back when we hear that introduction, that we may be given to pray. Ach, Lord, wilt thou remember me with a favor? Ah, look me up. Draw me with the cords of love. Grant unto me a new heart, that I may make that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Ah, then it becomes our desire that the Lord may say unto us, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, a delivered people, people of God, what a precious introduction. How tenderly the Lord speaks before he begins with those 10 commandments. Oh, then in the part of gratitude, then he holds that mirror of the law before a child of God as the, in a way of examination, in the part of sanctification. And to that end, the psalmist is prayed in Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of a brightness. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee that thou hast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day. And yet a few words to speak. May that introduction of the law and may it be for examination, but may it also be for comfort. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Lord, remember us in this week. Remember the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening. And wilt thou remember the mourning family? Ah, they do not have to mourn, as those that have no hope for thy people, then their death is their eternal deliverance. But tender ties have been severed, and we read in thy word of an Abraham, when he was called to bury his beloved Sarah, that he came to mourn and to weep for her. Well, thou uphold, and may the callings be sanctified. Well, thou grant a few words to speak. Well, thou also remember the parents, where when thou granteth it that on the coming Lord's Day, that the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered by renewal, that thou may grant unto fathers and mothers a truly a week of preparation and a week of prayer, that they may be given to beg of thee, that it may also be for them. I am the Lord thy God. Ah, Lord, work then from generation to generation. May it please thee to bless the labors of our hands. Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember at work, bless the crops. Wilt thou keep from great storms of destruction? Wilt thou bring us now safely to our dwellings and watch faithfully over us in this night, that in the morning hour, that we may arise refreshed according to body and mind, Lord. May we be given to meditate upon the introduction to the law, and may thou use it for conversion, but also for encouragement. Wilt thou remember so the whole congregation? Oh, wilt thou keep us from harm and danger, from sin and temptation? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death? Lord, have mercy upon us. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. My end, Lord, make me know my days, how soon they fail, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. And what follows, Psalter 107, the first three stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.